Now, every opinion, every confidence in some kind of spiritual solution, every devotion to a, you know, master, alive or dead, human, animal, whatever. These are all bookmarks. And so we take a position as to what this may or may not be, and that this book, this person, that teacher, that teaching, this religion, that religion, portrays honestly, accurately, right, verifiably, what the truth about reality or consciousness must be. So I align myself with it naturally, and then I take my cues from it naturally to, create a confidence in self. And now I have a well-worn position from which to assert, convince, cajole, manipulate, argue, be right, inspire, refuse everyone and everything else, you know, because I have my shit together, right? And we, hi.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey. Long time.
And we don't notice that whole body of myth that we have assigned ourselves to or aligned with is make-believe. It's arbitrary. Now that may, you know, maybe that takes a little while to come to.
Yeah.
Because without it, without having a superstructure of belief, of formidable loyalty, then who the fuck are you? And what the fuck is this? And very few people want to tackle those questions, you know, without referring to what the master said about it. What, you know, what Vedanta says. What Kashmir Shaivism says. What Jesus said. We don't really have any idea what this is and or how to relate to it. Nor will we ever. But all of those fuckers that, you know, were enlightened and had samadhis and even performed demonstrative healings, it's as if they knew what this was about. And therefore, if they say something about it, what they say is real. It's not the case. And yet we place such incredible loyalty in the, you know, the teachings of whomever.
Booby trap.
The whole room is booby trap.
Sorry to disturb the
all right.
Conversation.
It's just a booby trap, yeah. Really. Do you think something? Booby trap. You know, do you believe something? Booby trap. You know, we actually cannot place the presence of whatever this is or isn't in any context whatsoever. That's the fact. We can't place this in any context whatsoever because it isn't anything. Though it's profuse beyond imagination, and all the attempts to place ourselves or reality or subjects and objects or other people or Pleiadians, you know, or Aquaman in a context is all arbitrary and made up.
And so the booby trap looks pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
Because you don't know what the fuck.
That's right.
That's all you have.
But look at the, but you know, we might underappreciate, may I use the word maturity, that permits your ravenous consciousness to begin to see that clearly enough that nothing outside yourself attracts or alarms you.
To see what clear enough?
To see that this is booby-trapped. Mm. To see that it cannot actually be placed in a context at all, whether it's a Zen context, a Neo-Advaitin context, Raja Yoga context, you know, I mean, we can go on and on and on and on. Right? There's no point in listing everything; we'd never be done. But there is no context. Reality has no context. It has no acclimation or destination. So any belief system, even the belief systems of, you know, those worthy of our devotion and respect, is nothing. How much, you know, arguing and convincing and cajoling and manipulation goes on, whether in the political, secular circle, within the household, right? I have to convince everyone that the toothpaste stays right the fuck here. You know, everyone has to know it, right? Or what you do with your laundry, or, you know, how the kitchen's supposed to look within, you know, 20 minutes of finishing eating, right? I mean, and that's just the local neurosis. Then you take it out to the, you know, the global neurosis, the geopolitical neurosis, the spiritual neurosis, the Zen noir neurosis. And we think that we've actually got this down. Or there is a reality that I either belong to or someday will belong to. And it will look or feel like XYZ because Jesus walked on water, or Jesus rose, or the Buddha sat under a tree and dispelled Mara, or because Ramakrishna went into a fucking samadhi swoon and almost fell over. And that makes him, of course, the authority on, you know, Vedantic truisms. But it doesn't. He was just a guy that went into a swoon and fell over. It's not like he was espousing reality. And the reality that he did espouse was all bullshit anyway. It wasn't true. It wasn't like, well, you have to rid yourself of ego and rid yourself of the body and rid yourself of this and bullshit. You don't have to rid yourself of anything because it's not like you belong to anything. And so all of these, you know, horrific, God damn them all, you know, moralistic, presumptive piles of horseshit that tell you that if you don't go into a monastic, you know, committed relationship, that the world's going to gobble you up. You'll be in a total swoon of kamini kanchana, lust and greed for the long haul. And so what? As if that's actually going to interfere with your awakening. It's not. It won't. Going monastic is not going to give you an edge. It's not going to make your enlightenment come more sooner than not. Whatever that means.
Aren't they just trying to, they're grasping at what they think worked for them?
Well, those guys know better. Ramakrishna knew better. It's not like he was invested in anything that he said. He was a fucking ecstatic. He could say anything he wanted and it would be true. And that was the nature of his ecstasy. But to go and turn it into some kind of, you know, hyperbaric chamber of preferred Hinduism, it's just a bunch of horseshit. And yet all these generations, monastic and otherwise, that worship Ramakrishna, worship Vivekananda, worship Sarada Devi, you know, the holy trinity of, you know, modern Vedantic Hinduism, it's a ruse.
Why did they do that?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, they say, you know, everything is anecdotal. They said that Ramakrishna kept a copy of the Ashtavakra Gita under his pillow. And the Ashtavakra Gita is that one of those beautiful songs that says, not this, not that, not this, not that, not you, not me, not this, not that. You can't find a goddamn thing to pray to in the Ashtavakra Gita because it just keeps going, you got to be kidding me. That's what Ashtavakra Gita in English means. You've got to be kidding me. That's the literal translation. Actually, you got to be fucking kidding me, but
that's what I come for.
You know what I mean? And so they say that he kept it under his pillow, which was kind of a way of reconciling that question, right? That demonstratively, he went on and on about Kamini Kanchana, until the cows came home, built a formidable monastic culture that's alive today, thanks to Vivekananda perhaps mostly, dwindling, but still alive today. And under his pillow, he kept the truth. And I don't think a single devotee was willing to take the chance of waking him up to get from what was under his pillow. So it was hidden from the lot of them. But, you know, any guru that's worth her salt will tell you to your face, oh, you want something from God? You're going to have to steal it. Because otherwise you're going to be overwhelmed by some kind of religious conventionality that's going to tie you up in knots for the long haul, even if you are a monastic. Not going to work. Look, this is awake. Ta-da! Nothing can obscure it. Nothing can ameliorate. Nothing can obfuscate. You don't need to hide from the world. You can have sex, drugs, rock and roll, anger, jealousy, greed. You can gossip even. Oh, my God. You can even gossip, and not a one of those things, not a one of them will keep you from, like the mailman, will keep you from your rounds, from delivering the mail. Not a one. And so there's really no need for all of these Asian and Indian cultures to build, you could say, monastic orders, except perhaps as a response to poverty. If there's anything that would drive it,
understandable,
it would be poverty.
I can understand that.
You get that? Yeah. So,
seriously.
Yeah, there you go.
Just need something.
But I mean, of course, you know, this is a bit of a perhaps irresponsible boldness that we can speak about in the West, having the benefit of seeing the results from the Buddhist and Hindu monastic cultures.
Well, the stories that draw us in are ones of kindness, right? Of, you know, not people kicking puppies or something, you know? We're not like, wow, let's follow that guy. He's kicking puppies. You know, like,
right. Sure. I hear you.
Those people become revered, you know, the
yes.
Jesuses.
And yeah, we revere, well, I mean, maybe it makes good sense that we revere kindness.
Yeah.
We revere nonviolence.
I mean, and maybe that's a disparate evolutionary sort of, you know, drive, I don't really know.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's something really beautiful, like, to see, you know, somebody who does something that seems...
Kindness is nonviolence, yeah. You know, demonstrative eyes that stare into the, you know, grandiose magnificence of the void. Yeah, it's startling.
It's startling.
It totally is. I was looking at a picture by chance of, Prahlad today going through some old computer shit. And I went into a swoon.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I looked at his face and there was one of these photos of him just turning his head and smiling and his eyes were all watery and weird, and I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I just sat there in front of the screen going, oh my God, who the fuck were you? And that was just, and that smile was just like the whole universe.
Yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, Guru Yoga, I get that. You know, absolutely, absolutely. Guru Yoga is real. It is totally real. So all of that adoration and celebration and celebrity creation around, you know, call it persons that, you know, hit the big time and whose countenance and appearance radiate something that's otherworldly. Mm-hmm. I mean, like bees to honey. Woo! Or, well, it's more like bees to flower, right? Bears to honey. Bees go to flowers. Flies, more like flies to shit. You know. If there's someone holy in the neighborhood, stop in. Mm-hmm. Don't be an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For sure. That's how these cultures got created. I mean, you know, Ramakrishna was of that kind of magnanimity, of holiness, which was immeasurable. And so The smart ones dropped in.
I mean, and even when these people, you know, lost their temper, it was always some endearing kind of temper losing. Yeah. It wasn't like some sort of...
Right.
Yeah.
And there is this incredible magnetism in draw to, let's say, you know, a primate that might be local to you that, whoop, you know, bopped into the big time and radiates that behaviorally and, you know, with countenance and appearance. And you're like, oh, my goodness, so touching. You know, it's love. It's love. It's love. That's what, if there's the best grease you got for this to come to fruition is love. And what's that? Well, it's the recognition of, you know, the presence of that divinity. So if it's the recognition in the presence of that divinity in another, right, you're the one doing the recognizing. So they may be transmitting something that is, you know, worthy of 100 or not, if not 100,000 prostrations.
10.
10. All right. Frank's good for 10. But that's enough. I'll go 10.
Stingy,
yeah, really. Yeah, really. I'll see your 10 and raise you. Yeah. But still, the recognition.
I'll give you 12.
The recognition of that divinity is where? In you. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're waking up to. Absolutely. And it, I mean, it doesn't mean you can't stare into the gurus, your gurus, whoever that may turn out to be, face, and drop everything because love is real. Sweet. Sweet.
But it's a very common mistake to say, oh, it's over there, and I'm so different than this other person, and I'll never get there. They've got it, and I don't.
Yeah. Teachings amount to shit. In this path, not that it's a path, guru yoga, and that doesn't mean the guru as man or the guru as woman, right? Guru yoga is really the recognition in you of a profound spark of divinity that has to be fulfilled. And once that spark is lit, all kinds of interesting persons, circumstances, and events, right, are just coming your way for that recognition to be fed. To be nourished. And it's the love, it's the grease that permits us to take a knee,
mm-hmm.
right? Because mm-hmm. otherwise we're egomaniacs to the grave, right? Every single one of us. So we take a knee, we drop some kind of guile, some kind of hubris, some kind of confidence that we think we're holding on to. To really make ourselves as profoundly available as we possibly can. Not necessarily to the person of the guru, though in bhakti yoga, karma yoga, you know, that happens and that's encouraged in those cultures. Not so much in the West, unless it's Anthony Robbins and the love is about money. You know, then it is encouraged, right? You'll go see all kinds of people if they're going to teach you how to sell real estate and retire, right? Courses galore.
Isn't what underlies what you're describing that we live it, that the way we're comprehending the world is totally dualistic?
Yeah.
The only reason you're searching for something other is your notion is you don't have it.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole fundamental premise.
Yeah.
What you're describing, and we're kind of aligning with.
Uh-huh.
Is
foolishly so.
Something foolish that we may be.
Yeah.
Something we could say us.
Yeah.
That would be a different way of phrasing it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need for the separatist distinction. Once you can live within that.
That's what that's what they say, that by virtue of you're not the body, you're not the mind, you're not, right? You're not the object, you're not the subject, mm-hmm. you're not anything at all,
mm-hmm.
right? So absolutely nothing interferes with a recognition that whatever this is or isn't, you are.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the other accusations that could be made about you, and you in particular, are not true. Nothing is true. Not gender, not age, not birth. Nothing, 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 nothing. Nothing is true, nothing. And still, here you are, lit. You're lit. You're lit. And that's the bottom line. Oh, I'm lit. And before anything else comes in to, you know, confuse you, right, to irritate you, you're first lit. Everything else is crap. Really. And being lit and sinking in a manner of speaking, right, resting in a manner of speaking, right, being devotional to the fact, the irrefutability that you're lit, that will take care of the whole deal when we're ready, when the maturity presents itself to have that kind of relationship with your own experience. Otherwise, we're off and running. I got a lot of people to meet and a lot of places to go and a lot of, you know, Western occultism to practice. Mm-hmm. And I want to have a phone call with Ram Dass if I can get one. And on and on until you, like, you know what? It's been months since Ram Dass has called me. Maybe it's over. Yeah. I don't remember the last time Adyashanti rang my phone and asked me a spiritual question. Maybe I should stop calling him and asking him questions.
Didn't I get emails from him all the time?
Yeah, right. Really. Come to this, come to that, buy this, buy that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
Because I'm special.
You are special. Hi, Ryan.
They ask you questions. Are you suffering?
Yeah, really, the email comes. Are you suffering? How did you know? Oh, my God. So cosmic.
Yeah.
Really.
And it's so freaking cold.
Is it because you're sick and tired of your crappy life? Oh, my God. How'd you know?
You're a mind reader.
It's mind reader. It's a miracle email. Well, Bunky. We have a solution for you.
He starts singing, "It's too late, baby.
It's too late, baby. Now it's too late." Because you really are a dumb fuck, baby. Something inside has died.
It's only a thought, but the thought is that what was the big deal about 2012?
The Mayan thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What was really underlying that is the whole solar system's passage from the plane of the galaxy.
Okay.
And that has altered and it will create this. What you're speaking of
mm-hmm.
is inevitable.
Oh, yeah.
And universal.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So there is...
The recognition that you are God is inevitable.
That's why, put it off?
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, it may take more than a couple of years, but...
Whatever it takes.
Yeah. It's the direction.
In the meantime, we can fuck off and eat chocolate-covered almonds.
Right.
Really good.
What's the problem?
Yeah.
Why be impatient? And have some banana bread and just piss off. Yeah. I get nervous by those
large scale.
Well, those
assertions.
Well, I love to make them. I get nervous when other people make them. Well, you get nervous from those teachers that
who
you know
can validate anything.
I know.
You make it up.
Those teachers prior to their so-called awakening that were so miserable. You know, I mean. To the point of suicidally miserable.
Hmm.
I don't like those guys.
No.
No. You know why? Because they bring a certain, I don't know, they bring a certain kind of aroma, foul aroma, of like the consequence of enlightenment being the resolution of their misery. And it's like, fuck you. What's wrong with being miserable?
Who said how it should be?
Well, I do, you know, I mean, are you less if you're miserable? You know? And to associate enlightenment with the remedial intervention of being miserable gives enlightenment a bad, bad reputation. It's terrible.
How petty.
The malcontents Mm-hmm. Brings in the wrong people.
Well, you hope if you get miserable enough, maybe it'll happen for you.
Well, you know.
Yeah, you read a lot of stories about people
in
that dark night of the soul and pop out.
Yeah.
In the, you know, the bhakti teachings, if you're not weeping for God, just because you're not weeping for God, the wise yogi rubs onions in their eyes. Oh. Right? And someone says, well, that's ridiculous. You know, why... Right? Why do something artificial? Da 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 da. And the master says, "Have you rubbed onions in your eyes?" Right? Like, you know, what next level of, call it desperation or urgency, would you be willing to go to shed a tear for the divine if it's not coming naturally? I mean, that's like, you know, that fucker had guts. A little onion juice.
If you take psychedelics, you're trying to crash a party you haven't been invited to.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. But it's, you know, this whole notion of enlightenment being the sought after amelioration for one's, you know, abject primate misery is bad press. Hmm.
It's a good way to convince yourself you're not there. Oh, I still suffer, so this isn't.
Yep.
I haven't gotten anywhere.
Every fucking Hindu and Buddhist is really happy to accuse you of having a big ego about that fest. Yeah. You're like, okay, so what's a problem?
It seems like a weird systemic sort of disease or something, like, you know, like you always kind of say, but it's like you can just see the... It's all the same, like the consumerism, the enlightenment, you know, it just monkeyed on, backed on the whole, like, something's uncomfortable and we need a way to ameliorate it and you're vulnerable and we could sell shit to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and if we can insult you along the way.
Well, that's how you get people to think they need to.
Yeah. Accuse and insult you along the way, then we know that you are likely to be a return customer.
I'm suspecting that such people are actually more uncomfortable with the invitation than the bullshit. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, they're afraid of being, of everything having no meaning, no duration. So they would prefer to buy your shit because that, it really works better for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The put off having to deal with that, there's nothing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with this shit, you can't go shopping.
But wouldn't you say that when you stop feeding the monsters, more or less,
right?
You stop buying into all this crap.
Yeah.
That whole energy level starts to wane.
Sure. Yep.
So, I mean, there is this sense of
it could even wane. It could even wane's world.
It could. You know, that it all just sort of dissipates, you know.
Here's your present experience. Give it the slightest moment of attention and you will see the waning and the dissipation of all and every belief you've ever had right in front of your face. Give it the slightest attention and you can, it's like, I really don't know who or what I am or who or what this is. No clue. And you can simply clear the decks of the entirety of loyalty, consciousness, subject, object, and idea right here and still you're lit. And that being lit does not need to have an object, a subject, a genesis, a conclusion.
You don't need to add anything.
It doesn't need anything. Not a thing. It doesn't need anything. And tag, you're it. It's like, wow, this really does do itself, doesn't it? Holy shit. And even in the midst of your, you know, blue-collar, shitty personality and big fucking ego, and I'm sure glad you have one, this is unbelievable. And you don't have to become purified. Maybe it's wise to stop kicking the dog. Yeah, I'll take your leg off. In other words, This is always as it is. It's always what it is. Reality is not befouled by the stench of you. It's just not. You can be the biggest.
Stop bathing.
Yeah. You can be the biggest whatever you want to be. And guess what? You're not going to put a dent in what this is. And it's not going to love you less because you killed 20 million. Hard to take, maybe. Mm-hmm. Did Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, just to name a few, we could go on, Genghis Khan, you know, all kinds of really, really great killers, inspirational killers, took out, you know, more primates than we care to count. Entire civilizations were wiped out. It's not like reality said, oh,
man.
Shame on you, Genghis Khan. Didn't. It was like, reality was like, cool. Nice job, Genghis. What else you got?
Make a reality TV show about it.
Yeah. But we are so overwhelmed with self-serving, self-accusing, moralistic horseshit. Whether it's the forgiving God or the condemning God, mm-hmm. the retributional God. Like, you got to be kidding. This has no time for either condemnation, retribution, or forgiveness. All of that is nonsense. This is not sitting back and measuring up how you did to give you better access to what this already is.
You know, about a week ago, I was going through the channels and I found an old Billy Graham thing.
Nice.
And I'm always compelled to watch a little bit of these things. They're just amazing. Amazing. And, you know, this guy's heart was in it, man. If you can just delete all these messages, you know, I mean, he has such heart. But it's just strung along some fabrication.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I mean,
listen to Joel Osteen.
Yeah. I mean, it's all just, you know.
Yeah.
Along the storyline.
He can whip you into an absolute froth.
But I think a lot of this stuff, I mean, there's real stuff there, but it just doesn't go anywhere because it immediately gets attached to some mental concept.
Well, that's what Deepak does.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I like him.
No.
Get out. Ciao.
How did she get in here? Somebody leave the door.
Get out of my ashram. Get out.
Isn't his website the wisdom of Shokar?
I don't know.
Take your fancy gi and get out.
I'll just listen to him on YouTube sometimes. I don't like that. I like that. It was cool.
Hey, he's good. Nobody say he's not good. There's a lot of them that are really amazing. You know, as far as
the real miracle, not that there's an unreal miracle. It's just this. This is story free. Right in the midst of, right, an unbearable effusion of story after story after story, of belief after belief after belief, of justification and decision and ritualistic behaviors that keep us going. And not a one of them is true. Not a one of them is real, but not a one of them is unreal. Because even real and unreal doesn't
still occurring.
Doesn't matter. That's the discovery. The discovery is not some kind of event. Mm-hmm. There is nothing to discover. That's the discovery. Because any discovery you make, no matter how sensual or miraculous it is going to be completely imbued with right? Profusion. You can't tell me that that the irrefutability of your present nature, and even that's saying too much, is already fully baked, fully accomplished. You don't need to lose anything to be better at this. You don't need to get anything to be better at this. You don't need to have a spiritual experience, dare I say, for this to make any more or less sense to you. Fuck spiritual experiences and the unicorn they rode in on.
God bless you. Have all of them you want.
Yeah.
Unicorn.
So what?
Butterflies.
I want I want to smoke whatever you're smoking.
I'll show you pictures. I believe it's a unicorn butterfly kitten.
There's a tendency to get lost in the profusion, in the aphorisms and all that stuff. Preceding that, that seems like a spiritual step to say, oh my God, you know, all this stuff. You know, and all these truths that come down. It's like, just see ten. So that seems to be the spiritual experience. I mean, that feels like something totally different when, you know, when that happens. And
yes,
the mistake is just climbing deeper into that. It's like, oh, if that happened, then, you know, let's see where this goes. And
yes. You want more experience.
Mm-hmm.
You're greedy. Mm-hmm. Even if you're generous and fair and you go to the Rotary Club and ante up.
Do good.
You know?
This is why the guru exudes love. You know he's got something. Because they don't want and they're not greedy. Oh. Those who exude love.
Right.
Are neither, aren't after anything.
Okay. You
know? Yeah. Most followers would say that their gurus exude love. It would be all kinds of characters.
Well, maybe guru is a bad word. Just anyone who.
Any mensch.
Anyone who actually does love.
Take it down a notch. Mensch is good. Forget about the love. Rightio, Professor. Yes.
I'm not seeing a desire that in love that is looking to be fulfilled. I'm not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be without agenda.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Your present nature, or call it, you know, peanut butter, has no motive, no interest, no agenda. Just doesn't. Though profusion, the Buddhist might sometimes use the word papancha. And they refer to the profusion of mind, right? Profusion clearly has the miraculous capacity to convince you of oh so many things. And it does so with, you know, minute seed. Really, the slightest touch, and the profusion gets lit so subtly, so miraculously, that to have even the slightest glimpse of it, or even just an imagination of a glimpse of it, is unbelievable. We don't notice the genesis of our present imagination. But we run insanely with the symptoms of the profusion. And so the suffering is simply referring to that. That the profusion is so good at what it does. That we, being downstream of the genesis of the profusion, remain under the influence, inebriated by whatever this is doing what it does, and then pretend to have a demonstratively willful life in the midst of it that runs on a somewhat narrow gauge track. And we wonder why we have the afflictions that we have. You know, in a sense, all of these afflictions that someone else might criticize us for are our best shot at devotion. That's right. They really are. They're our best shot at getting back to divine confidence. I don't care if it's, you know, alcohol or drugs or debting or whatever it is. The chemistry that's involved in what interests us and motivates us to do the weird things that we might do in life are all about getting back to square one. No one's really interested in gambling itself, though it has its thrills. We're interested in the fact that it's a devotional gesture. That if I'm in it, though it has its consequences, I'm actually exalted. Mm. It's the exaltation of lust that one loves, not necessarily the consummation. It's the exaltation of, you know, having friends and a beer to crack open and pour down my throat. It's an act of God. It's an act of devotion. It might kill me, right?
It could.
But still, you could say the motivating force for even the most egregious genocidal motherfuckers on the planet was love. Right. It just looked odd. Jeffrey Dahmer ate his friends. He loved them. He couldn't stand being separated from them, so he had to fucking ingest them.
Immersion takes many forms.
Good T-shirt. Yeah, right. Primate beware. Immersion takes many forms. Yeah. It might cut your life short in a way that, you know, you wouldn't be so happy to go. How free do you want to be? Right? You know, what's in the way of you being completely insane?
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Right. So then we don't hold back. And it is a little scary. I mean, it's a little scary because shit, my life, my stuff, my children, my parents, my relations, my car. Everything is at risk, and you know everything's at risk, and that's why we'd rather buy something from somebody than go all the way into, I don't know what the fuck this is. Because if you go into, I don't know what the fuck this is, you're at risk, and you can't avoid it.
You finally notice how at risk you are.
Yes.
You are anyway. But
and if you're not in love, not necessarily with a person, but if you're not in love, if you're not crazy with that spark of divinity that's lit inside you, being at risk is going to terrify you. That love, call it what you will, is the only grease you've got that will let you go through the rough water, all the way through the rough water, all the way home. Otherwise, you're going to back off, right? I mean, you have to have a courage that's insane to go to the absolute ruination of yourself. Right? Without that, you're going to find an excuse. You're going to be distracted. You're going to take on a religious belief system. You're going to fucking argue with people.
Work very hard at it.
Yes. Yeah, even that. You'll practice.
As long as it takes.
Yes. Jesus. So it's really odd to find out what kind of resources are already in you, mm-hmm. right? Lurking about, prepared, maybe gingerly at first, to go completely insane and take on your own ruination. Otherwise, this becomes just some kind of spiritual tautology, something to agree with. Agree with what? You're a goner. This is going to kill you. What? Well, you need to agree with it? It's still going to kill you, even if you disagree with it. It's not holding out going, oh, thanks so much for your agreement. I really appreciate it.
We'll give it a couple more days.
Yeah, really. Really. It's a countdown. Yeah, sure. I mean, what do you want? What do you want? What, peace of mind? Fuck that. Who gives a shit about peace of mind? This is so crazy. It's so wild. It's so beyond any imagination that we could possibly have, any container that we could possibly have. Why settle for peace of mind? Who gives a shit? Go the distance. Leave peace of mind in the dust. Leave compassion in the dust.
You lose all reference and all definitions, and peace of mind or lack of peace of mind, they're equal.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Yep.
You start to lose that what you want, what you don't want, good, bad. You lose the reference.
You are a crazed, dangerous gyani. That's what's lurking inside of you. A crazed, dangerous yoni.
Fuck's a yoni.
Is that like a guinea pig?
Well, I used to think it was someone that raised guinea pigs, and it was, but no. Jnana yoga is, you know, referred to as the yoga of, you could say, discrimination, but that's too small. It's too small. It's as if the jnani sits behind a desk, you know, with an old banker's lamp and contemplates their navel. No, they're crazy. They're insane. They're wild, whether in stillness or activity, you know. And they say, oh, well, the bhakti yogi has the better chance at this because it's through the devotion and the demonstration that, you know, bullshit. That's bullshit. You want to be at the confluence of both. The love is there, the grease is there, but so is the miraculous power of your own discrimination to peer profoundly into the nature of your present experience. And one does not refute the other. They're not mutually exclusive. You can be absolutely insane in love, right? With whomever, with whatever, perhaps even including yourself, dare I say, and also bring the potency of your discrimination to that. And there's no exclusion. Wild at heart, fearless, lit. You're not referring to yourself as a human. Defined by human. Defined by space, defined by time, defined by compassion, defined by events and circumstances, defined by physics, defined by Higgs bosons or bosoons, depending on your preference. You're not defined. The duration of how long your body lives is not your concern. Can we get that wild? It's like, oh, this sounds like fun, but I mean, I don't want you to take me out right now. Right? Hold on a moment. I want to do some seeking. I have people to meet and places to go.
Treat to go to.
Yeah, I'm booked. Right? Some god comes swooping in and you're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. I got appointments.
Let's negotiate."
Yeah, let's talk about it. How free do you want to be? Are you want to be free from events and circumstances that piss you off? Poser. Fucking poser. Do you want to be free of all objects? Now, starting to smell right. You want to be free of the subject? Whoa. Now you got some serious shit going on. Some serious shit, because your subjectivity is a myth. And the confidence that you place in your subjectivity sets you up to be a goner for profusion. Mm. You see, the profusion will not fuck with you unless you take your subjectivity sufficiently seriously to let it in. That's where it goes. We're trying to fuck around with all the profusion, all the circumstances and events and the objects, and manipulate everything, micromanaged, you know, so that I suffer less. But you don't see that it's not the objects that fuck you up. It's the confidence that you place in your subjectivity. That's what sets you up to be fucked by profusion.
Then you're part of the subjectivity.
Yes.
Another subject.
Mm-hmm. That's, see, it's weird. If, you know, everyone wants to be enlightened as what? As a subject, as an object, and have one's life circumstances or spiritual experiences show up on time, on demand, so I can say, ho-ho, I'm good. It's bullshit. How many of the people that go to the retreats, take the vows, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, are absolutely willing to go to the guru and say, Master, take my subjectivity. Take it all. Master, take my subjectivity. Very few.
Master, take my subjectivity, please.
Please, take my wife, please. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I'm wondering if you can split the hair of, because if you want to be free,
okay,
there's a problem.
Oh, yeah, totally. But so it's a good problem.
You go... I mean, how do you sacrifice something that you can't actually sacrifice?
Yeah, you don't. You don't, then you can't. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's all, it's all just fractured poetry. You know, it's like Rumi under the influence of DMT. Nobody knows what the fuck this is. It's not like you actually do anything. What are you going to do? Oh, some guy said, some woman said, some book said I should do that. Good luck. You're going to fail. You're going to fail. It doesn't mean you shouldn't give it a whirl, but you're going to fail. But that's cool. That's part of the mix. You do it anyway and you fail and you're like, this is fun. I just keep failing. To get out from under the influence of subjectivity is why the faces of all those enlightened people are so fucking glowing. Really. Because it's like, I really don't know what this is. I mean, you think they're staring at you, giving you transmission of love, and all they're doing is, holy fuck, this is lit. Oh my God. And there's nothing left of them. But they, you know, but they act in the world. I mean, they can pet a peacock and, you know, have a bowl of rice. I'm like, oh, so much love, so much compassion. They don't, you know, what? They don't know from love or compassion. The subjectivity's gone. You know, why did they suggest staring into the sun? I mean, it's.
I think that practice would be amazing.
It's a nice gesture. I mean, it can hurt you if you're not careful, but you know, you can do it. You can do it through clouds or trees,
yeah,
or something. But
really,
if you can get your, if you can get a little bit of the taste of the sun shining in your fucking retina, you're like, that thing will blow your subjectivity away.
Yeah.
Completely. That's why the practice is encouraged.
I didn't even know that was a practice.
Oh, yes. Sun gazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leif and I used to do that. We had a lot of fun. We would go sit at the El Cerrito Mall.
Oh, boy, what a setting.
Oh, yeah. No, it was a very, very sacred place. Actually, it is. Because there was it's a Native American, like, kind of holy area. Not, well, maybe burial ground, but there's a beautiful hill and there's, you know, Native American artifacts and that whole area was, you know, profuse with the Native American stuff. And then later on the Mexican culture, you know, Hacienda, you know, culture was there. And then of course, you know, we genocided all those fuckers and turned it into a mall. which is what we do. We're just developers. We just genocide everywhere and turn it into a fucking mall. Yeah. Right. Hey, would you like a blanket?
What's a fire water?
Yeah, right. How about a blanket and some alcohol? Won't be long now. I'm going to turn this into a mall in about 5 minutes. But anyway, we would go to this, the holy El Cerrito Plaza, and watch the sun go down. Just do sun gazing.
Yeah.
You can print a manual online for how to progress. It takes about a year. And you can eat the sun, and you can give up eating.
Yes, apparently, if your constitution is
so
amenable,
so wired,
you can, sure.
You can actually live off the sun.
Yeah, and a little, what is it called?
Chlorophyll?
Marijuana?
Yeah, that's where I was going.
I mean, except, yeah.
The problem with sun gazing and then marijuana use is if you smoke at night and get the munchies, you're fucked. You know? When's the sun going to come up? Goddamn sun! I'm so hungry! Fuck! Yeah. Yeah, really. What time is it? Really. How many times do we have to watch Cheech and Chong? When's the sun coming up?
I don't get it. So what then?
Yeah, that's right. Our entire life is a celebration of the profuseness and profundity of the divine. I don't care whether you're at work having a good day or a not so good day, whether you're bored, whether you're daydreaming, whether you're hitting it on all cylinders, whether you got a date or not. That's all this is. And you don't have to be in a better place than the place that you're in. Exactly how you're there, whether hysterical with distraction or staring into a photograph of your guru going, oh my God, it just doesn't fucking matter. Because once you get under the myth of subjectivity, this is a new ball game. And thankfully, just as it is, you are at present absolutely unencumbered by subjectivity. That's the fact. That's not something that's going to happen in your future. It's now. It's this. You are not encumbered by subjectivity right now. And that's easy to see. I'll make a bold statement. What the fuck? It's easy to see. Consider yourself.
Get yourself there.
What? You can see whatever that suggests, that any imagination, anything that's bothering you or interesting you is where? Imagined. The entirety of your so-called life and what's good or not good about it is absolutely imagined. And you can see that. Because you ain't got nothing if you're not imagining shit. Without your imagination running, telling you stories about how you're feeling physically, psychically, emotionally, and a thousand other ways, you have no idea what this is. None. And that's you, completely unencumbered by subjectivity. Here. What? Silver platter? Here. Silver platter. Gold platter? Platinum platter? Here. Here you are. You are absolutely unencumbered by subjectivity as we speak. Anything other than that, you can see with little effort that is imagined. Okay. Ta-da. So get used to it. It's very odd to become acquainted with yourself, even in the midst of your very full or very hollow life or somewhere in between. That you are simply not the product of anything. You are not the consequence of anything, and inconsequential to boot. And this is the evidence.
Can this energy that, triggers the identification?
Yeah.
The just the energy being felt without the identification.
Yeah. What else you got?
The identification.
Ah, see, that's right. It's curious. Do you? We report confidently and sincerely that I am under the influence of identification. And I don't know where you get all that confidence from. You only get that confidence from imagination.
Yeah, right. I mean, it's almost like the mind...
it's just this
energy or something.
That's the irrefutability, yeah.
That it's like,
yeah,
let's start it up.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But I mean, it can go either way.
Yes.
I could just be sitting there totally wrapped up.
Yes, no problem. Yep. But to imagine, you see, this is the funny part, to imagine that you are sufficiently individuated to either be wrapped up or not wrapped up is not true. That's how we get hooked into the myth of enlightenment, because we think that we can be individuated and not wrapped. No. That's the primate, right? Reaching for the gold ring, wanting to have an idealized...
I guess you could say if you're feeling individuated, there could just be...
Yes, of course it is. That's exactly right. That's why we're speaking about getting out from under the influence of subjectivity. You see? Once we take subjectivity sufficiently seriously, then individuation and all profusion is on us like... What did we say? Flies on shit? Or bears on honey or bees on flowers?
So this observation... so this observation of this image...
Yeah.
...is just as bad as just getting caught up with everything.
Well, bad? Good, bad?
Well, I mean, it's just as identifying. Is it just as prone to identification?
Yes, look at the profundity of the subtlety of association with anything at all arising impersonally in situ, in the present moment. With what? With what? We don't need no badges. With what authority?
There can be raw experience. Okay. And then there can be a noticing of a tendency towards something.
That's a myth.
Well.
Yeah.
But being at the raw experience almost seems it's sort of precognitive, you know?
You are precognitive. Yes. That's right. The deep stream of your intelligence is precognitive, is atemporal.
That's our home.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
It's always like that.
Yes, always.
It's like really fun to see how incongruent it is. A lot of times you're like thinking one thing, you're like, why am I doing something else though?
Yep. Yeah.
What am I actually, like, what's actually going on here?
Yep.
I'm thinking one thing, I'm planning it, plotting it, but if I actually look, I'm doing something different.
Try to micromanage the incongruity. Fuck, you're fucked. You're fucked. You're totally fucked. You cannot micromanage the incongruity that's appearing as your experience of its own accord. But see, when we try to get enlightened, right? And be the enjoyer of the enlightenment. It's like micromanaging incongruity. Not happening. Not gonna happen. Didn't happen to Ramakrishna. He did not micromanage incongruity.
What would you micromanage it with?
Nothing.
You know what I mean? Like, what are you using? Your brain? That's
what? That yeah, I mean, all you've got is a fire hose shooting in your face, waterboarding you. You're being waterboarded forever. It would be better if someone was actually torturing you, say, give me the answer. But there's not even anyone torturing you. You're just being waterboarded for the hell of it. It'd be good if Dick Cheney were on the other side of the hose. But he's not.
Somebody you can negotiate with.
Yeah, someone that you could say, please stop waterboarding me. But there's nobody holding the hose, so you're fucked. Please stop waterboarding me. No one's listening.
It's been like 5 minutes.
Really? Shiva, please stop waterboarding me. Ho hum. Did I hear my name? Someone complaining again? Yeah. And so any association that you may come up with, and it's wonderful, it's luscious, it's thrilling to look at the nuance of your present experience and find some vocabulary that goes ba 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 doo, biddy biddy ba ba doo. You know, it's like what scat singing, right? Is that what it's called? Mm-hmm. Right? Biddly ba ba doo, whip whip, hanging, rip, and then you're like, oh, I'm getting waterboarded nonstop, and I can't, and no, that fucker won't turn off the hose. All I can do is go, way, and you don't know what this is. Yeah, pretty much. Everything that is appearing in the miracle of our consciousness is speaking in tongues. How it turned into a certain kind of language meme that we understand as speakers of English is like unbelievable. We're just barking. We're just howling at the moon here. And people think, oh, that guy's talking about shit. It's all it is. And when your consciousness shows up firsthand in what you call your experience, it's just ow. You're like, what's that wolf talking about? Then you're fucked. The only thing to do is howl back.
Throw a net over you. Take it away.
You can see how, let's say, you know, a mind called comfort zone is like, whoa, that's just too fucking much. Reality is too fucked up for my taste. So I'm just gonna create the idea of me. I'm gonna put on a 10-gallon hat, walk into the bar and get myself a drink. Right? And all my sorrows. Don't you know it? Right? Incredible, incredible comfort in having the capacity to use a frontal brain and an opposable thumb to make something of yourself. Whew, thank God. Reality was way too fucked up. This works.
You're like making a little teddy bear for yourself, like
yeah.
Persona.
Yep.
Build a bear.
And build a bear, exactly.
Yeah.
You're like, this is good.
Build a bear at the Bilderberg. Right.
A little blankie.
We don't have to be, you know, effusive or demonstrative or crazed about this. I mean, I have fun doing it because it, you know.
Suits you.
Fills the space.
That's good showmanship.
Yeah, that's right. Just sit around and be too sanguine about this, you know, fuck that.
Too much.
That's too much. Well, let me say, if it's like this. Bullshit. No, it's crazy. So what is the nature of intelligence that can embrace all that's being, you know, implied by this madness, by this profusion, and just kick back? Strange, really strange, because even in the midst of an unyielding profusion of being waterboarded by no one that's listening, you
and yet it's something totally different than identification.
Yes, absolutely.
It's something, some other thing. It's some
yes
non-thing.
Yes.
It's not identification, but no. It could be heard kind of in an odd way because there's no reference.
Yes.
You know, so...
Yeah, you don't... It's not so clear how you recognize your own liberation. Yeah. That's a little mystical. Yeah. Why shouldn't it be?
It's a demon lover.
Yeah. Sure. Becoming, duration, commentary, orientation, reference points, to-do lists. Whew. Have at it.
My mind was ruminating about the word incongruity,
mm-hmm.
which realizing incongruities makes one laugh. And who laughs? Humans.
Humans.
So we see that incongruity,
mm-hmm.
and we laugh.
Mm-hmm. Hyenas see it too.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if their laugh is the same as
ours. No, yeah, who's to say? Loons. Hyenas.
And also, it struck me, and I could be absolutely way off, but well, I think he was getting that with the... getting caught up in something?
Yeah.
For me, I think it's when I put a separation between what is and what I'm experiencing. That separation causes more of a attention grabber.
Yes.
The thought that it's actually separate from gives it more
sure
weight or something.
Yeah. It's a very curious geometry to attempt to chart, right, the effusive nature of consciousness as a simultaneity which is always evaporating. We can chart shit that happens through the myth of physics, right, the myth of mathematics, the myth of a new moon going to full and back to new. You can chart that, right? You can have a lunar calendar.
Lunar bear.
Right. But you can't chart this. Because it's non-referential. It's outside of the realm of being able to assign, mm-hmm. right, a referential tautology to the spontaneously evaporating and appearing effusive nature of what we're going to call consciousness, to say X because of Y because of not, no, can't, no, not happening. Just not happening. I don't care who the pundit is. Not true. Fuck you, Deepak. and even people that are, let's say, more skilled than him at playing around with the genesis of consciousness.
Double this.
Yeah. What? That's why Ramakrishna went into rigor mortis and just, you know, that was his explanation. Baba, Baba, what is this? Are you having a seizure? You know, that was the answer to the question. The master fell down. Master, master, what is this? Boof. Yeah, I know. Well, it's... Those are fun. Fun to see. I mean, you can't chart your own, you know, realization being under the shadow of a rare, you know, being like a Ramakrishna or a Neem Karoli Baba, you know, Ananda Mai Ma, Prahlad Brahmachari. You know, you can't, because, you know, you'll be disappointed for a long time, many, many lifetimes. So lower the bar. Just lower the bar.
You're on the spiritual short bus.
That's right. On the spiritual
this
short bus.
Class.
By the short hairs. There's no shame in lowering the bar. And replying to the beatitude of your present experience, just where you are, just as you are. If you do, you know, if your life path includes exotic yogas and purifications and repetitions, dancing with hyenas, charming snakes, burying skulls, and staying up all night, weird shit's gonna happen. But if you're not, you know, if you've not been invited or initiated into that kind of shamanic enterprise, go bowling and chill out. You know, realization has not lost interest in you because you're as ordinary as you are.
Who's to say weird shit doesn't happen every time, like, you go to work?
Yeah.
And come across other people and stuff works or it doesn't.
Yeah.
Who's to say that's not weird shit?
Absolutely.
We've got a pretty narrow gauge of what's weird and what's not.
We habituate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Same old office.
I feel like even calling one weird and one mundane is an error.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure. Yep. It's all weird. There is no mundane. If your confidence in subjectivity flies out the window, all you've got is weird.
As soon as you accept an agenda that you have to do, though, it doesn't. You know, the subjectivity right back in. Right in. And it's a lot of agendas going on.
Excuse me. Yeah, you can see how effusively distracting everything that you believe in appears in your experience and then suggests you as a durable entity, right?
Yeah, then 8 hours, 10 hours later, it's like,
Well, it's only your imagination that's adding that together.
That's what we were.
Yeah, there's no evidence.
Yeah, we use the word imagination. Fine, show me the imagination. Mm-hmm. There is no imagination.
Right.
You know, you have a big ego. Show me where, what? There, nothing is here. So we use these word forms, mm-hmm. hopefully, you know, cleverly constructed, used adroitly, succinctly, right? Suggested mm-hmm. to point to what? How weird this is. It's not like you have an imagination, but you can reflect profoundly on what you call, right, the texture of your experience and go, oh, I'm imagining or I'm this or I'm that. But you still don't know what the hell's going on. Just because you use the word imagination or consciousness or bliss mm-hmm. or the absolute or yoga nidra or nirvikalpa samadhi, What the fuck are you talking about? All you're doing is going, this is weird.
That's dangerous work.
It's a little dangerous.
It all starts vanishing.
Yep. Yeah.
There's nothing.
Yeah. There's nothing but profusion. And underneath the profusion, there's nothing. And the profusion is made of nothing. Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's. And any position you take, you know, you can laugh at it because you a second later, you know, it's like, well, I took a position. When did I take a position? What exactly was my position?
I can't remember.
I can't even remember. Really? I mean, this is fun because whatever this is as in right now, and don't ask me what that is because I don't know, this is irrefutably so. But your memory? Is your memory irrefutably so?
Oh, hell no.
It's not, right?
It's impossible to argue when you lose the commitment that you really do remember.
I mean, forgive me. Yeah. Forgive me for making what might be, you know, a convenient comparison or an inconvenient comparison. But if this, whatever it is, I don't know what it is, but if you're here and you may be, you may not be, I couldn't know because you're just fucking an apparition in my experience. But if for on your own reconnaissance, if you're here and this is actual. Now, is your memory as actual as this? If it's not, I'm not insisting, I'm not trying to lead the horse anywhere, but if it's not, then you have a problem. You have a serious problem.
I'm sorry. If it's not as, if your memory is not as... So, actual.
For lack of a better word. I mean, we could say pine nut or pesto, but actual makes more sense.
The same
present.
Yeah.
The same phenomenon of recalling memory or that house or the car that's sitting out in the parking lot, that's the exact same phenomenon
yeah.
as imagining pink elephants dancing across the room
you see them too?
With tattoos. You know? It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And both are about equally as real.
Yeah, this is really strange because once you get a taste of actual and entertain even for a little bit that your imagination is not actual, where do you live? I'm stuck here. I'm always stuck here. I can't get any place other than here. Now. But here does not imply a place, and now does not imply a time. And so here and now is like, am I in a place? No. Is this a time? Sorry.
You can't obtain anything. Ever.
Because the only thing that puts it in place in time is the recollection that's no more real than the pink elephant.
Yes. Yes. You see, actual is like, oh my God. Actual has no duration. Actual is not conditioned. Actual has no consciousness. It didn't come from anywhere. It's not going anywhere. It's consequence free. And it's the only place that you could possibly live. And lives weird. This is nuts. Because you can actually hang out, like, how about right about here and right about now, even though this is not a place, nor is it a time. Actual is irrefutable. Right? That you are lit is irrefutable. That's it.
Nothing more.
Nothing
you
more.
You don't add anything to that.
Yes. Right.
You fuck it up.
Yep. From that context, not that it's a context, what, your liberation is someplace else? What, in some distant mountain? Future that you're going to get to after you, you know, say the 330,000th gate, gate, para gate, para samgate, bodhiswa fucking ha? No. No, not happening.
Carry your blanket around. Head in the right direction and bow three times.
Yeah, right.
Only.
That's right. But it is, granted, a little startling, a little strange, not quite, doesn't quite satisfy, it's not quite intuitive, though it's profoundly intuitive, that this is not a place, is not a time, is of the nature of an actuality that is immeasurable, only evaporates, doesn't quit, and subjectivity is not true.
And you can make up anything you want in the midst of it.
Haven't
you? You're free to invent endlessly.
We have the Golden Gate Bridge and the Channel. We have nuclear weapons.
So right? Good.
Yeah, we have it all. We have it all.
Yeah.
We're good. We can kill ourselves a million times over. Like
pedophilia.
Yeah, yeah.
Beheadings.
That's right. Yeah. Somebody gets off on something.
Right.
Puppies that make phone calls.
Puppies that make phone calls. It's incredible.
It's in our face, the profusion that is unlimited.
Yep. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it just.
Yep.
The canvas is so fucking full.
Yes.
Of anything imaginable.
Yeah, and mutating.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Mutating to the point of nausea. Yeah.
And there's a purpose somewhere. We can only find it.
Sure there is.
Forgive me. I can't help but bring this up.
Uh-oh.
It's just...
We can go with it.
Just for a little bit. I'm so amused and delighted to see the talk show hosts.
Yeah.
All the Republican talk show hosts eating the Bush. They are condemning him to the...
Are they going down on someone? What are you saying? That was weird.
Republicans
going down on someone? I didn't know they did that.
I just have to bring it in because in the world of what's totally amazing and unbelievable, that the talk show hosts think they can figure it out.
Oh, well.
What's going on?
What?
What's going on?
You've got us so confused.
Well, going down on Bush means the young
baby Frank
Bush.
Warns us, he means it. He's like, I'm going to warn you. You're like, okay, Frank, we can handle it.
So if you just watch a little of the political entertainment, that's what shows up. All the major talk shows are condemning the young Bush, who's the inheritor of the mantle of the Republican Party, who everybody they collect more money than God to get elected, and they don't want him because he's bullshit,
and they don't want who?
They don't want the young Bush.
Jebediah.
I don't know what his name's from.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's just how politicians roll, you know? Like, yeah.
That's right. Sure.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up.
We morphed it into sexual acts, but true night sky fashion.
We'll either turn it into something sexual or scatological. Just give us a few minutes.
Biology wins out every time.
Very primitive bunch.
Really. More banana bread.
Listening to Peter Brown, and he said something like, "Compassion can suck on knees." And the commentary is, "Oh, you must be channeling Jeff." I'm like,
they know you over there.
That's good.
Whoa, awesome, dangerous shit. Hmm. That's nice.
Banana bread.
Thank you.
Came out great.
I was inspired.
Yeah.
I was hoping that Terry might show up and we'd have like a bake-off.
Tell her the gauntlet has been thrown.
Yeah, really.
No, she's pretty good.
Gluten-free ginger hemp seed banana bread.
That's gluten-free?
With gluten-free flour.
Whoa.
What is it?
It's gluten-free.
Oh,
what did you use instead of wheat flour?
Gluten-free flour.
Do you know what kind of gluten-free?
King Arthur,
did
I think.
Did you use the kind that's made from bugs?
Well, it's like
they
rice
have
one
made
from bugs.
Maybe
your potato.
But they don't
tell
that.
Giant.
No, I'm not sure.
No.
They always like, insects.
Yeah.
You can harvest that dandruff.
I know.
I love
brains.
Yeah, brain.
I don't even know.
Legumes too?
Oh, no, I can give them up like that. They're halfway there.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can have peas and green beans, but other than that.
You know, there's nothing more fun than having an inspiration. I mean, it's like, wow, that's far out. Let's do it.
Makes life worth
it. I know, I love having an inspiration. Otherwise, I'm good for nothing.
I regard them as gifts that are given to me.
Yeah. Inspirations?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Nothing else works.
What?
Nothing else works.
Right.
And here's the fun thing. Don't go in search of anything.
Mm-hmm. Don't try to do anything.
Don't make sense of anything. Don't compare anything.
That's a tough one.
No, don't compare anything to anything. Don't make sense of anything. Don't place this in any context. That's how it liquidates you. And that's not a hard and fast rule. It's just it's an observation. It's just a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
Because you see the slightest hint of measure, right? The slightest hint of making sense, of creating a context. Basically some profusion.
Destruction.
Yeah, you sign up. And that's fine. It's not like that's a good thing or a bad thing or a right thing. It doesn't really matter. Because profusion never actually incarcerates you. So if it appears that you're signing up to profusion, it's not long-lived. There's no commitment. It's not 30 days. You don't need to give profusion 30 days notice to see that it's just profusion. Right? No lease. So being signed up for profusion is that no problem. Greedy, ego, killing yourself with one or 1,000 addictions. Nobody likes you anyway. It doesn't matter. So it's not a problem that you might have hit a bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a problem because profusion has no legs. It can never actually incarcerate you. Pretty wild. Yeah. So this way there's no way out of anything, thankfully, because there isn't anything. So it's not like you've been assigned or afflicted or condemned, and then you have to find your way out. You have not been assigned. You have not been afflicted. You have not been condemned. And so you don't have to struggle at all to release yourself from it. That's bizarre. It's a good idea to go to a meeting to help you stop drinking if you have an interest in, you know, maintaining a healthful relationship with your family. What if you don't drink yourself to death? Yeah, you know, and if you don't have any motive to hang out in life as a well-behaved human, then, well, fuck, drink yourself to death. Try not to hit anybody in the road if possible. Right? Right. You see, we all have really good affliction stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've suffered. Suffered like this. I've suffered like that. I'm an asshole. You know, and we can really pile it high and deep, thinking that, oh my God, I'm the consequence of unbearable affliction, karma. But it's not true. It's not true. This cannot afflict you in actuality.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It can appear to afflict you in imagination.
Mm-hmm.
In imagination.
There's no subject to be afflicted.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. There's neither subject nor object to be the recipient of any durable affliction. Yep. That's this. Hello. Bada boom. It's only in imagination can we conjure, right, through memory,
mm-hmm.
the artfulness, if not the hysteria, of being the consequence of some unbearable affliction or afflictions of a truly unforgivable, right? Truly unforgivable life lived poorly. No.
Waterboarding montage.
Yeah, another waterboarding montage, exactly. I swear something happened to me a moment before now. I have all the evidence. That's why it pays to permit yourself, give yourself the permission to be a little more wild than you think you can handle. You know, go to your kind of comfort zone of wild. Give it a little. Give it a work. Really. I'm good. No, no. Whoa! Now you're bacon. Yeah. I mean, what has this done? What has it done? What? Not a fucking thing. What's the last drowning polar bear gonna say? Gulp. Same with us. If you invest in affliction, which is great, fantastic. You can notice that investment is an interpretive enterprise. It's an imaginary enterprise. Mm. Some way of coping with what may be pleasant or unpleasant, right? Somatic, mm-hmm. psychiatric, or emotional, right? Profusion. This shouldn't be happening to me.
Roll some other.
So, there's a lot of times it seems to me like a feeling of entitlement that's really fucking funny and bizarre.
Yes.
The constant, like,
yes.
I don't deserve this.
That's right.
Like, what is this?
I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah. I'm just being.
I do not consent to this.
No. My parents didn't raise me to.
That's right. I wasn't raised this way.
Crap.
Yeah.
He told me I was going to be above it all.
That's right. As long as we try to remedy myth within the context of myth, we fail. No matter how many charcoals, lit charcoals you walk across, how much real estate you sell, how many crores of japa you do. Gate gate paragate parasamgati bodhiswaha. Gate gate paragate parasamgati bodhiswaha. Gate gate paragate parasamgati bodhiswaha. It's not going to fucking do anything. You'll get stoned. That'll happen.
Yeah.
Which is nice. If you have the patience to use japa as a vehicle to get stoned, knock yourself out. I would just rather... I'm good. Nothing obeys you. Nobody likes you. Could you be any happier?
You got nothing to lose.
Nothing. Stop waterboarding me. Can't stop.
Especially when you wake up, it's like, have you ever tried to just not get out of bed? It's impossible.
He's
like,
a pro.
You just not wake up. Huh. You wake up. Well, this wakes up and gets out of bed. It's like, I don't know. It's like, stop it.
It's like seeing a freaking picture of a cute puppy with a cell phone. No, I don't like that.
Where's everybody going?
Not cute.
I must be tired.
At all.
It's like going to degree outside.
I think it's supposed to be
not yet.
Like, could it be like -1?
Close, but not quite.
Yeah. I feel like it's kind of 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Oh. Truly.
Yeah. I know. Me too. Like, what?
What?
Something happened? Time passed?
I'm not paying any attention to you.
Stop talking, just go. That's it. Back out slow. Now you got it.
Missed the flame, so that was good.
No, we're good.
Oh, it almost went in the other candle. I didn't see one over there.
The candle's funny looking.
Yeah, it's
barely making
it. Much
still hanging in there.
You learn to see that this hooks you very subtly and very convincingly, where something that arises in mind or experience, you know, subtly or effusively, you think that it's telling you something. You think that this actually has just conveyed a message to you,
mm-hmm,
about your present condition or what you did or didn't do or how happy or unhappy you might be. You're like, oh, this fucker's talking to me. Mm-hmm. It's telling me shit about myself. I should pay attention. Not true. No. Absolutely not true. And you can see how really easy it is, as let's say mind, you know, gets going in the morning after a good or fitful night's sleep, and it starts like, hey, you want to wake up? Hey, you got to pee? You know? Hey, I got to, you know, I've been sitting here all night waiting for you to come out of your fucking stupor so I can tell you some shit.
Yep. Yeah.
And you're like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. What was I
thinking
about before I went to sleep last night?
Please,
what was that?
Fuck up. And it's like, no, come on. You're going to be late for the day.
Yeah.
I got a bunch of stuff I got to share with you. It's like a 4:30 a.m. presidential briefing. Mr. President, some shit's happening in the Baltic Sea. You're like, oh, fuck. God damn it.
That's a good one. I love the other day. I was like, I have the day off today. I don't need you. I just want you to know you can have the day off.
Nice. Yeah.
I didn't listen.
No, no.
I just had this funny conversation.
Sometimes you have to write it down.
Yeah. Listen,
if you write it down and you're like, I know that you're not one for subtlety. So here, I'm going to write it down for you. Shut the fuck up and take the day off. Signed, me. Then you'd leave it on the kitchen table, and maybe it'll like, you know, like, oh, she means business.
No, it doesn't ever stop. You just go about your business and just let it go. You just ignore it, and that makes it wild. It gets louder. The more you, and you ignore it some more, and you just let it go.
That's a Taylor Swift thing. Shake it off.
Just shake it off. Shake it.
There's gonna be me.
I do a lot of construction at night.
Oh, you're building?
And then I catch it.
Uh-huh.
You shut the fuck up. I can't hammer a nail.
Really?
I can't do a goddamn thing.
Really? Would you get those blues out of my face?
Oof.
Please. Sure. I count obese sheep that really have no business jumping over anything. Actually, they're all just going, they can't get over the fence. It's like it's going to be a long night. There's a whole bunch of sheep. They all get up to the fence. They're like, they're too fat to jump over the fence. Oh, it's a clusterfuck. And they start pooling. They start pooling. It's really bad. Would someone please try to get over the fence? Damn it. Stop feeding the sheep.
Silly.
Yeah. Consciousness can't do anything. You can't actually do anything. It's all make-believe. It's all pretend. It tries to convince you that it can do something, that you are vital, that you matter, that your life has, you know, been a five up till now, if you're lucky, and you're trying to get to a six, six and a half. It tries to convince you of all of this, you know, becoming an accusation that you're the product of something, that you've suffered, that you can take steps to suffer less. Not true.
This is available in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
It does take some work, though. It feels like you just got to...
You let it run its, let it dance its dance, run its course.
Mm-hmm.
Let it afflict you. I mean, really, give it absolute permission to fuck you completely up. That's how you slip out from under the radar.
Mm.
You put up the slightest fuss, it's on you. It's on you. If you put up no fuss, just let it kick your ass straight to hell. Really, just let it. Go ahead, kick my ass straight to hell. Go ahead, knock yourself out. Give me everything you've got.
And then it just becomes part of reality. It becomes the same as what it's trying, what it appears to be getting in the way of. It is We don't fight it. It is that.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. There's a, let's call it a certain quality of relaxation that says, give me your best shot. I am not going to do it myself. Mm. And you see that it's like it's made of nothing. Yeah. It's the resistance that says, oh, no, 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 no. Not me. Not now. Not this. Not that. Then we enter into an adversarial relationship with a myth.
And then you have an agenda, and then you're fucked.
Then it loves when you have an adversarial relationship with it, because now you've made it real. Mm-hmm. It's happy. It's like, oh, thank God you hate me. No, I'm going to kick your ass. But if you just like, okay, right, yes, I hear you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Terrible, horrible, no good. Yep, worse than that. Lonely, worthless, right? Whatever. Right? No, no refusal transmutes into something else.
It's not a thing, is it?
Hmm?
You don't want to do like this in other years.
Yes, you can say that, right?
Is that even the right kind of nut?
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Well, we'll just play Dan if it's out.